Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod. I'm Kate Diaz, a Manchester math teacher and elected president of CEA, the Connecticut Education Association. We are Connecticut's largest teachers union, representing tens of thousands of professional educators across the state.
And I'm Jocelyn Delancey, a fifth grade teacher in Darien, elected vice president of CEA and president of CEF, the Connecticut Education Foundation, CEA's charitable arm.
In every episode, you'll hear thought-provoking interviews, as well as actionable tips and strategies that you can implement in your daily life. We'll have stimulating discussions to help you become a more informed and effective educator and advocate for your students and the teaching profession.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's jump right into Two Teas in a Pod.
Well, today we are so lucky, Jocelyn. We have one of my favorite people in the house, Sarah Azoukas, who was on the board of directors with us as the aspiring educator chair, but now is joining us as a newly hired art teacher in Region 15. So I am so excited to have the opportunity to kind of pick her brain, think about unionism from an early educator perspective, because one of the things we have to really constantly question is our relevance, right, as an organization.
So I think one of the other great things about having you here, Sarah, is that you can really speak to the benefits to being an aspiring educator in our program and how that really helped you kind of navigate some of the journey that you were on as an early educator and the process of finding a job. I mean, how great that you graduated in the spring and now you're really ready to start in a classroom in a public school. So, I mean, I think that's really awesome. Tell us a little bit about it.
Definitely finding a job was on the more difficult side. I didn't know how the process was going to be in the beginning. So applying to different districts and learning their interview process and going into different schools. Also, I didn't know you had to do a demo lesson before they hired you.
I guess that makes sense because you got to teach. They got to see how you can teach before right. you get the job.
I mean, it does make sense.
I applied to several districts, but then I really lucked out with Region 15 and I felt like very welcomed and I felt that they were really pursuing to wanting to have a lot of younger teachers within their district. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited because I met a few of my coworkers so far and they're also like on the younger side, which makes me like excited to be able to like talk to them and connect with them
sure.
in ways that I wouldn't be able to if it was more of like an experienced teacher.
So let me ask you this, because I think part of what we want people to understand is how did being involved with the Aspiring Ed program and with CEA kind of help you in that process? Did it support you? Like in what ways?
Yeah, the Aspiring Educator program, I was in it for 4 years, ever since my freshman year of college. And each year, I learned more and more about the union and being in the program. And I began to make more networking connections. Mm. And definitely, like, obviously, this last year, my senior year, was probably the most powerful, successful year I had as an Aspiring Educator, just because many doors of opportunities opened, like, obviously, post-pandemic, if you want to say now, with conferences and being able to meet all these people in person that I've been talking over Zoom calls for years, especially with like the national positions that I have held with the Aspiring Educators program. It was just life changing to see that there's other people out there just like me. So it was really,
I don't know. You're pretty original.
Yeah. Well, it was good to see other very motivational aspiring yep. educators just like me, all with the same concepts and wanting to all change the world of public education. So that was definitely very eye-opening for me, and I'm very happy that I got involved in the Aspiring Educator program and the union, because now I feel definitely a lot comfortable going into a job, whereas if I think someone who didn't even know what the union was until they stepped foot into a classroom might feel a little bit lost.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I think one of the things that we don't know, because obviously, I mean, it's been a little while for me since I was a first year educator, but I think you're right. Like, okay, now I got hired, right? Okay, so now what? And so I think, talk a little bit to me about when you say you were more comfortable, in what ways? Like what do you feel like you have a little bit of insight to?
I feel like I have an insight to like behind the scenes. What goes on, not just, oh, I'm going to be a teacher and I'm going to go teach kids from 8 to 3 every day. I'm going to go in the classroom and I'm going to know how to talk to parents behind the scenes. I'm going to know how to deal with coworkers. I'm going to know how to understand how to make lesson plans that involve cooperating with other teachers. Like, I know it's not like I'm just going into the classroom and teaching kids. And that's what a lot of people from the outside think that teachers just do. Like, oh, I'm going to in and teach.
Right. I think one thing you haven't mentioned yet, and I know that we have a lot of supports for, are understanding your contract and what your day-to-day will look like as a teacher in Region 15, right? Because every contract is different. And you have access as an aspiring educator to contracts across the state to kind of take a look at, do I have prep time in my contract? Will I have a lunch time in my contract? Well, now all teachers will get a 30-minute lunch. But up until this point, that wasn't necessarily the case. And so that's another aspect to being in our program and being a member of our union that you have access to, that I think those things are public but harder to access if you're not a CEA member. And you also have the people to talk to kind of ask questions about, wait, what does this mean? Or how many personal days do I get? And those are things I think new teachers don't necessarily think about because you're just so excited to get into your classrooms and teach kids. You forget about the things that make your day more supportive or less supported throughout.
Yeah, that's very true. I know when I was job searching, which my job search started back in like March, when I really first started looking, I'm like, okay, what districts are hiring? That was definitely one thing. I hopped on that CEA website and I put in my member ID and I looked and read the contracts like very thoroughly. It's very important to know what the district is about and how do they really value their teachers. And it's very important to know how the district operates in a formal district, strict way, I guess. Like, it's very...
Well, that's true, because we forget that there is a formal arrangement here, right? Like, one of the things that is a nuance of education is that we do this work because we love children, because we love the communities, we love those partnerships. But this is a formal arrangement that does have boundaries. And so it's really important, to your point, to understand what those boundaries look like. Where are the things you have a right to expect? What are the things that they have a right to expect from you? So I think we kind of make that like the dirty little secret, like, shh. But the reality is that is incredibly important because that's where all the pitfalls are, right? Mm-hmm. That's where the danger zones are for young educators, where you're asked to do something that you don't know. Am I supposed to be doing this or am I not supposed to be doing this? Hey, I feel like I'm being asked to do more than my colleagues. What's going on? Where are the boundaries of the formal part of this relationship? And I think developing your sense as a professional is really, really critical. And it's hard to do by yourself. You cannot develop your sense of who am I in a professional capacity, sitting alone in a, even or honestly, in all fairness, in a classroom in a college. That's a real life activity of how do I exist in this space? And what are my rights? What are my responsibilities? Where are my go-tos? You know, those are tougher things, your professional life to develop.
Well, and I think one other thing too is that having had union experience as an aspiring educator, understanding that your union really is a support system for you, and that even if you're a non-tenured teacher and you're just starting, you have access to a support network that might be different than somebody who doesn't have that union membership, right? You can ask for help. You can ask for support. You'll have a building rep who can guide you through questions that you might be afraid to ask an administrator, you know, and that's a really important benefit to union membership as an early educator. We have conferences for early career teachers. As a leader in the aspiring ed program, you were able to go to some really cool places and conferences. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah. So I think my first conference was my sophomore year of college, and I went to a Zone 1 conference at the Heritage in Southbury. Rachel Immerman was there, and she was the NEA Aspiring Educator Chair, and I remember it being such a big deal, and I'm like, I don't understand, like, why is this conference such a big deal? I'm like, okay, like, this girl Rachel, like, hi, and I just didn't really understand it, but it was my first one, so, and then as I moved into the program and I went to more and more conferences, yes, during the pandemic, them being over Zoom and webinars, which wasn't always the funnest things, but still gained a lot of information from those and more insight about the union. And then this past year, I went to quite a handful, the NEA Leadership Summit, MLT, WLT, I just went to AEC, and it was my first Aspiring Educators Conference in person, because the past 2 years I've attended that over Zoom. So an Aspiring Educators Conference is so much more different than going to a leadership summit or an MLT, WLT training. It was seeing every other young educator, aspiring educator, and new educators, and seeing all the support from the union at the national level that they show for the Aspiring Educators Program was so eye-opening, very motivating to come back home and want to be like, let's do this and let's do that. And it's just like you jump out of your seat, like wanting to really expand the Aspiring Educators Program and wanting to get more people involved.
Well, and just to clarify, Zone 1 is teachers or aspiring educators from across the Northeast, correct?
Yes.
And then you were able to go to a leadership conference in Las Vegas and Chicago and
yes.
other places. So through that role as a leader in our union, you were able to really develop yourself in a lot of different ways. So I think that's really something that we'd love for our members and our aspiring educators to know, is that there are a wealth of opportunities for you as a young member of our association.
I also think that one of the things that, and this is why you're one of our favorite people, is that there's a really important voice that our aspiring educators bring to the table that grounds our work in not just what's going on today, but what's going to happen in the future. And so I know I've always appreciated on the board that having the voice of a young educator in the room to help us kind of guide a path forward that doesn't just make sense for the people who are active or who have been in this career path for many years, but makes sense for people who are just starting out. And so I think it's really cool to be a part of an organization that values those who are coming into the profession, alongside those who are active in it, alongside those who are retired. So we end up as a part of this really neat network that says, okay, listen, we're going to take care of our people from start to finish, and we're going to value all aspects of our career. Because I think that's a really fun piece of the puzzle, is to say, you have just as much to offer today, you know, as you're getting excited about your first year teaching, as you do when you're, you know, 20 years from now. And that's going to look different. You will have all sorts of experience under your belt to draw upon. But today you still have really valuable things. So what I'm going to ask you then is, what are you excited about, or you think that we as an organization should focus on that really is would support either aspiring or new teachers? What are the things that you kind of think would be cool?
Definitely starting with the union, I really liked how there was like a little knit community with the aspiring educators. And I've had the privilege of attending the Early Career Educators Conference for multiple years in a row now. And I feel like, especially post-pandemic, a lot of early educators kind of fell off. And I feel like what could honestly be developed as being a new teacher in the classroom is almost having your new teacher community. So almost like a spinoff of aspiring educators, but you're communicating with all these new educators around the state, and you can connect with them, because sometimes you go into a school and you may be the only new hire right. for that year, and you may not have anyone to confide in or to talk to. And sometimes it could be a little nerve-wracking going up to 25-year veteran teacher and being like, hey, like, can I ask you a question? But it might feel uncomfortable. So that's why I think, like, if a knit community passed just the conference, mm-hmm. but a kind of like a lifelong relationship started with our educators, new educators going into the classroom, just to have someone be like, hey, like, let's talk about these lesson plans, and I don't know what I'm doing, but did you do this? What are you doing? Just someone that is in the same position as you are and sure. can connect. And as you said before, like, it's a while for some of these teachers when it was their first year. They forget. They don't know what it was like, and the nope. times have changed.
Well, I think, and that's also the other piece. I mean, I think the pandemic changed many things, but it also changed us as workers, right? And what our expectations are as workers. And it's going to take us some time to figure out what that means. And so you're right. It makes sense to me that you would want to build out that network. And we offer, you know, our Early Career Educator Conference, and there are certain things different locals do, but it would be an interesting thing to explore, You know, where did all of our aspiring educators land? And could we pull them back together and start to build that network of early career educators who could kind of support one another as the next phase, right, of the aspiring ed program? Yes, exactly.
A little spinoff.
A little spinoff.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And, like, just going back to, like, what you said about times have changed and it's different is my teacher prep program was probably a lot different than what your teacher prep program looked like.
I hope so.
I was in the midst of 2020 and I'm taking classes on dual instruction. And I'm like, I'm learning how to teach over Zoom, but I have yet to step foot into a classroom. And so it's
crazy.
It's very different in the upbringing, and not many teachers that are experienced really understand how kind of like our teacher prep program was like split. I got like half classroom, half Zoom.
Right. Well, luckily, you will not have to worry about dual instruction this school year and teaching. But I think that having that perspective of your journey to the classroom was very different than anybody really that's come before you and your group, your cohort. So I think that that is something that we'd like for our active teachers who are listening to this and our veterans to remember when you meet those first-year teachers this year, that you kind of pay attention to the fact that they might need a little TLC, or, you know, you might want to gain a fresh perspective.
I was just going to say, I think there's a pro and a con to this, right? Mm-hmm. There's the pro of you didn't have a normal trajectory, but that allowed you to see things a little bit differently. And so you kind of walk into the classroom today with a different vantage point than somebody who has been in the classroom like myself for more than 20 years. You know, the pandemic absolutely impacted how I teach, how I approach my work. But at the same time, it's still different than what you had, because I was drawing on so much experience and pivoted that experience to look differently. You really had to start from the ground up and go, okay, what does this look like to piece together?
Yep.
And I think you have skills that are different than what I did. I know I relied on some of my, I hesitate to say younger, but I will say fresher to the profession colleagues, had a little bit more savvy on things, and they really did support me. And I think, you know, there's a give and take to these relationships that's really powerful. I'm excited about having you on board as a union member. And I think I want to kind of bring our conversation full circle and ask you, why do you think the union is relevant to young educators?
That is a great question. I guess it's like kind of hard to see it from my point of view because I've always been full union since I've started. So it's kind of hard like seeing an outsider. But when I do see outsiders that are not in the union, it's like, why? Why are you not an aspiring educator? Like, you're going to school to be a teacher, but definitely it's, you learn so much. And it's not, like I said before, like you're not just going into the classroom to teach. You're learning everything else and more. I'm learning that, like, everything from the board of directors and, like, learning all, like, I guess the behind the scenes and gaining all this extra information that I would have never have gotten from my teacher prep program. I guess that's a good point to make, is that being an aspiring educator, I went to so many presentations, conferences, webinars where I gained additional information that was going to help me in the classroom. And I feel like that's a very important thing that I'm walking away from stepping into the classroom, because I feel more comfortable. And like other colleagues of mine that are education majors and they're not in the union, I'm like, I know how to make my classroom LGBTQ welcomed, because I have sat on so many presentations about this topic and they're like, yeah, I didn't get that in my teacher prep program. And I'm like, this is why you need to join the union. You gain so much more information beyond just the classroom and lesson planning and curriculum.
Right.
You learn way more valuable lessons to really have a functional classroom. And I think that's the most important thing I have gained throughout my 4 years of being in the union, gaining all this extra information and valuable. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I often think about us in some of our more functional capacities, right? Where listen, we have important things, we have work to get done, we have representation with the legislature and all of that. But you're bringing up a really important point that the union is a vehicle for us to have our needs met. So if we feel like there's not the information out there for me to address the LGBTQ plus considerations, I can turn to my union and say, I need some more. I need something. Or I have concerns about the attacks on our Board of Education. How do I educate myself to be prepared to manage that? My union's going to provide that. So there's a, you're absolutely right. And I often don't think about that, but even just the conversations that we are able to have because we're a professional union gives you sort of leverage, right? Information and power to navigate a landscape that can often be pretty complicated.
Well, and what I'm hearing too is not only are you professionally ready to teach students, but you're also ready to grow as a professional and to advocate for yourself as a professional. And I think that that's something that is really important skill set that even some of our veteran teachers kind of forget that skill set, or they kind of it falls off of out of practice because we're so used to just being nurturing and giving and thoughtful that our own self-advocacy kind of we forget about it. And having right. that early union mindset allows for you to say, when I advocate for myself and I sign up for programs and I go to my union for support, I have more skills and tools to be able to not only teach my students, but also be an active part of my teaching community.
So Sarah, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. What we will do is check back on you. You know you can't get away from us. And know that all the things that are true for you today will be true for the rest of your career. So we are looking forward to continuing to work with you and see what kind of exciting professional you continue to be. We will keep in touch.
And good luck yes. in the next couple of weeks. Woo-hoo. And have fun setting up your classroom.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We want to thank all of our members for all you do and for listening to the latest edition of Two Teas in a Pod.
For more education talk, subscribe to Two Teas in a Pod and find us at cea.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like what you heard? Share a podcast with your friends and colleagues and spread the word because we are
stronger together.